Diabetes Insights, Breakthroughs and Innovators. The EASD TV podcast from the annual meeting of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes.
Hello and welcome back to EASD TV. Now, we live in an age when social media rules narratives across the world. And where a lie can be right across the world in the mere twinkling of an eye. And that's an issue when the lie may be about health and may be really very harmful. But there's always been a debate about whether it's better for doctors and clinicians to engage on social media or to ignore it. And there is going to be a debate on Friday. And one of the people from the debate is here with me, Partha Kaur. Welcome, Partha. Now, Partha is a clinical director at NHS England. He's also a diabetologist in Portsmouth, which is my home city. And you have a very active social media presence. So why did you decide to engage?
I think there are many, many reasons why I do social media. And I think the first thing is defining what is social media. People see a lot of it as Twitter or X. I don't think it's just that. I think it's Facebook, LinkedIn, all of them are social media. And they've all got different platforms. The reason I got involved in it, two or three main reasons. I think it can be a good place of learning yourself. So I probably would say in my career, learning more about the lived experience has come from social media, seeing people with type 1 diabetes or type 2 diabetes saying, look, these are my challenges, this is my issues. Having the conversation, I think, is really, really helpful. I think the other thing you can do is you can dispel misinformation and myth. As a specialist, you can turn up and say, and I appreciate we're in a world where everything's under debate, but it does give me that platform. And lest we forget, it also helps create a really good narrative around what's working, what's not working. And I would say being more honest with the people, for want of a better word, we are serving in the NHS. So I find it to be a great experience. All the social media platforms and their audiences are different. And that's important to remember. But I have found it, in spite of all its downsides, a really, really useful tool in my clinical practice as well as policy role.
And that point about learning is a really important one. I was talking to one of the doctors who do dermatology. Mm. And dermatology, they have ridiculous, you know, like 17 million followers for Dr. Pimple. One of them had actually produced a paper out of the information sent back to him by people on the platform who had all had experience of a particular, quite rare skin disorder and had found that a particular treatment didn't work for them. Yeah. And it had rewritten the textbooks. Absolutely. So, you know, there's a lot of information to be had. It certainly shouldn't be viewed, social media, as a way to kind of proselytize or just pass information one way.
Absolutely. I think, as I said, it depends on how you use it. And you also need to learn the skills of moving away from the conversations which you find quite difficult or it doesn't match your values, so to speak. So it depends as to what space you want to create. So if it's very much an educational space, you can definitely do, just like you said, the dermatology example. A very good example of that was during COVID times. A lot of people use social media to put out the right information, try this, try that. So I think that, like everything, everything has got its good side and its bad side. And for me, how you use it is a very, very critical element of the use of social media.
Okay, let's talk a bit about the negative side. Mm. So you said, you know, when to walk away from an argument. I mean, I guess with people that you're never going to win an argument with. How do you decide that and when do you do that?
I think there are certain values I hold true to. I think if you see somebody being, let's say, very clearly misogyny is there or outright racism is there, I see that people as baiting you to get a response from you in an official role so they can use that against you in some other format. Yeah. The best thing to do is walk away from it. If somebody believes, for example, say, you are not good enough because of the color of your skin,
that's a very prevalent view on Twitter at the moment, isn't it?
But you can't change that with a discussion with that sort of mentality, right? There's no way. And probably that person would not be in a position to say that face to face. That's the thing of being behind an anonymous account. But I think that's a good example of walking away. We go like, you know what? I think we're done here. If you can't have a proper conversation about, let's say, health inequalities or why are people why are more not more women in positions of power, etc.? If you can't have a conversation, and the response to that is, well, because they belong in a kitchen, well, I can't debate that with somebody, because that's their view and that's their notion. So you walking away gives you the mental peace. So I think negativity will always be there. But I want to give a very recent example whereby I got a lot of abuse for saying things about the flag, etc. But it's also, what people forget, is also the kind comments that has come since then, right? There is also that side where people have said, this doesn't represent us, please ignore them, you know, we value what you do. So I think society is built of all of that, and social media probably is a microcosm of that, and which is why I'm not a big believer of people walking away, because you're just conceding the space to people with very polarized views, while you can stay just like you do in society and counter those views.
You and I were chatting about Blue Sky, which a lot of people moved to when Twitter became X, but that's become a terrible echo chamber. Yeah. And I feel quite strongly that, you know, people should stay in some of these contested spaces, because otherwise, as you say, you create an information vacuum, don't you?
100%. And I think this is where, for example, LinkedIn has also become very much a people trying to sell their wares rather than actually information cascade. So, but when you are there, so I inhabit pretty much every platform, and I'll have slightly different messages because of the audience, but I don't think walking away is... So if somebody's saying, for argument's sake, we don't believe, let's say, screening in type 1 diabetes should be done. To have an adult conversation, why not, right? Or is an EASD guideline which has come out in this conference about diabetes distress and the challenge about, so what do we do about the distress? Where do the people go? Just identify. But that's a good conversation.
A good conversation, because you can hand out the right information. And also, you can help people mobilize. Now, I have to tell you something about Partha Kaur, which is that when he became clinical director for type 1 diabetes for NHS England, I think I write him saying that CGM monitors, about 3% of the type 1 population had CGMs. Now, it's 97%. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
So, and it was really Partha mobilizing patients that actually achieved that. So it wasn't about money. It was, and if I can characterize it like this, you know, a third of people are always adopters in the health service. A third of the people just put their heads down and do what they're told. Yeah. And a third of the people say, I'm not going to do anything that somebody else tells me to do.
Yeah.
But actually, if patients come along and say, look here, you know, everybody else is doing this, why aren't you? That makes a huge difference.
I think it shows also the importance of accountability. I think it's very important as a national leader in my book. So I think visibility is I think people don't value the power of visibility, right? So just to give an example, if you look at, let's say, Chantal Matthews, the president of EASD, she's visible, she's around.
She's everywhere.
That's important.
Yes.
So important. And I believe in that power of visibility. That doesn't mean you shy away from difficult conversations. You're saying, for example, with the type 1 population, setting expectations is incredibly important at what you're trying to do. So for me, social media has been a perfect example of also trying to feel the pulse. What really matters most to people? Is it just about what the academics are saying in their science sessions? Or is it more about, no, That's absolutely what we would like as a population. That is a very important barometer to sort of sometimes test. And as an example of social media, this morning, I have put, because EASD have suggested there should be population-wide screening in type 1 diabetes. And I put that out. I said, very interesting. I'm intrigued. What is the view of people? How do you see it? Would you like your children screened? Would the population like it to be screened? They're all part of the barometer judgment of, you know, should we look at this as a population level? Should we do it as a policy level? It helps shape national guidelines. So, and I think that's quite important.
So when shouldn't people do social media? I mean, I'm thinking in particular, very often early career academics come to me and they're very worried about social media. And they're very worried because, well, in some circumstances, and it's certainly happening in the US, they can effectively be cancelled.
Yep.
I mean, you know, they can express a perfectly reasonable view and suddenly find that they're being hauled in front of their boards who are asking them to be sacked. I mean, so that they're very frightened of that.
So my advice to those individuals, because obviously there is a position of privilege some have and they can battle off, you know, any complaints. I think in the early stage of your career, if you want to use social media, my first advice always is don't go there drunk or angry. I think that's very important.
Same with the drunk texting. Don't go there.
Don't go there. Because I think the other important thing with it is think of it as you are in a public forum and you're discussing it, right? And you also need to be aware of the politics around you. So when you're talking about certain subjects, be aware of the implication of what you're going to put out and what you're putting on the line. On the other hand, if you're a young academic and you want to know more about the science you are doing and want to engage with the individuals who are higher up in the chain in academia, perfect forum. You tweet some papers out, you engage with people, ask them some questions, you're building a portfolio. So you can stick, for want of a better word, it sounds like I'm asking people to stick to their lane. I'm not. But what I'm saying is that in the initial stages of your career, do things which make sense. And then as your privilege grows, of course.
So there's a couple of really good examples of that. So there's another colleague from the UK, which is Kamlesh Kunti, who does a very good job, apart from posting pictures of doses, which look delicious. Yeah. He also posts recent studies in diabetes and kind of explains them. And the master of that art is Eric Topol.
Absolutely.
Eric Topol, who has a following of, over a million or something. Yeah. And what he does is he very carefully explains the implications of recent research in the biomedical sphere, and he aligns it with Substack. Do you do Substack?
I do. So I think the one other...
Should we just explain Substack for people who don't...
I think it's, again, another forum whereby you can put
things... So it's a written forum.
Yeah, so it's putting things in a more... So, which is one of my talk sessions, is about how do you make use social media to make research more understandable? Mm. Because if you look at papers, they're quite drab and drib. And a lot of people then go, oh, my God, I don't have time to read. What's the abstract? What is the conclusion? What is it saying?
Yeah, what does it mean?
Yeah. And I think to make it much more simpler for people to understand, I think we also forget the value of teaching. We're doing that in schools now. That we forget that we're also the same people, that not everybody learns the same way. The visualization models, et cetera, very important. So Substack will help a lot of that develop and get it into one place. Another example of that is Daniel Drucker.
Oh, Dan Drucker is terrific.
Brilliant. And I think to academics is that you don't have to be out there controversial and challenging every single moral things that doesn't fit in with your fiber, so to speak. You can be as a Kamlesh and learn from them. And the final bit I always say to people is sometimes it's not a bad thing to be, for want of a better word, a social media voyeur. Go there. Don't have to tweet anything.
No,
listen, follow, learn, and then gradually dip your toe into it.
Yep. Which do you enjoy of all the social media platforms?
So, do you know what? I think they're all very different. I'll give you my example. Facebook is of a very particular generation, right? So
yeah, it's an older generation.
Yeah, and over there, what I get is interaction with parents.
Yeah.
Invariably with parents, right? Twitter is a wide world whereby you have no control of what is happening, right?
No idea. Yeah. It's a wide...
Absolutely. Instagram is more the younger generation.
Yep, so definitely.
And LinkedIn is very much professional. Sort
yes.
of thing. So I tend to enjoy...
And what about TikTok?
I think TikTok is slightly outside my range because I've been told very clearly by my children not to venture in there.
Oh, Dad, don't embarrass us.
Please don't do things like that. I think they're already embarrassed by some of my posts on Instagram because they're there and they've steadfastly refused to follow me.
But it's very interesting because TikTok is definitely the
it will be the big thing next up.
The younger generation.
So it depends.
So it does require, I find that for TikTok, I don't do a lot of TikTok, or do any TikTok, but because it takes a lot of time, because, you know, you need to constantly post and getting stuff right and making it look nice and all those kind of things. And you're competing with the likes of quality that, you know, people do.
They've got amazing cameras and all sorts of
things. Yes.
Absolutely right. So I think it's about the audience you're trying to reach and what is the purpose of being on social media. So I think for me, a lot of it is about the information cascade. I think it's very important to let people know about success and failures in the national space. And one of the big things that I wanted to actually leave EASD with a message on, and that's where social media can be very powerful, is to say, science is only as good as it getting into lives. Otherwise, it's a PowerPoint presentation or somebody's CV. And I think conferences should have more implementation science. That's very important because, for example, you take this conference and there's some magical data, right? There's like a newer GLP-1, a mixed GLP-1, an oral GLP-1 and screening and this, that. But my first question is, so what's the plan to get it into lives?
Yeah.
right? Because all you're doing otherwise is opening up more and more disparities in different parts of the world.
Yes, and that's, of course, the other major thing for social media.
Absolutely.
It's global. It's global. I, you know, orforglipron, the Attain study, you know, we ought to be thinking, here's a small molecule. If it was reasonably priced, we could be distributing it, you know, no need for injections, ambient temperature.
It ticks all the boxes you want.
It ticks all the boxes.
So that's where social media can be really powerful to say, okay, this is great to hear in the UK. So I also do work in India. So I've got that. Yeah, I always talk to people when they go like, Partha, why is there more people on hybrid closed loops? And I'm like, perspective is also important. I'm also working with India trying to get them glucose strips everywhere. So the perspective of that unequal world is, and social media does tend to give a very good picture of that. And people are more appreciative of where we are as well.
And we had Dr. Mohan. So Dr. Mohan gave the first global impact lecture prize. And he has a huge social media presence. He said he has over 1.5 million followers. And he was tweeting out all sorts of stuff.
And again, he's very much about the science. Dr. Mohan, I've known him and respect him. Amazing guy, doing some great work. And also don't forget the impact it has on his own research. He has got people coming up and say, I would like to be part of your study.
Yes, exactly.
It's an incredibly powerful tool. And, you know, so I believe you will have always a narrative of social media as toxic, but you can make it as untoxic as you wish by use of different buttons. Don't forget that social media runs on algorithms. If you can switch off the algorithm a few times by ignoring a few things, the algorithm switches.
Oh, that's a top tip. Ignore some posts and your algorithm switches.
Yeah, if you just go like, I don't like this post, you do it three times. So let's say there's some heavy-duty things around color of skin and people saying rude stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's very
You just ignore
horrible.
A few tweets and the algorithm switches out, right? On the other hand, if you're sitting there going, oh, I would like to look at this bit, then of course it will feed you more and more.
Yes.
So you also need to be careful what you are watching.
So if you've got nothing but cats in your feed, it's all your fault. Partha, it's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Always.
You always have a great and wise take on life, but you've made such a difference to people living with diabetes in the UK. And I know that. I know that because I read what's in his feed, and patients are so enthusiastic and so supportive of you. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes. We hope you enjoyed today's insights. If you did, go ahead and hit subscribe, and you'll always stay up to date with the latest in diabetes research and discoveries. And if you'd like to dive deeper, you can find plenty more information at easd.org.